Good morning, and welcome to Simply Economics. It's Saturday, April 20th. On today's show, gold shines amid geopolitical tensions and economic uncertainty, while a city passes a migrant funding and economic development bond. Plus, Super Bulldog Weekend brings an economic boost to Starkville. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Economics. We start off with gold prices, which rose on Friday, fueled by geopolitical tensions and economic uncertainties. The precious metal, long seen as a safe haven asset, settled higher on the day. For more, we turn to our correspondent at Simply Economics. What were the key drivers behind gold's rise today?
There were a few factors at play. First, reports emerged earlier that Israel had launched missile strikes on Iran, immediately raising fears of a broader conflict in the Middle East. This sent investors flocking to the safety of gold. However, as the day went on, it became clear the attack was limited in scale, and Iran said it would not retaliate, easing some of those initial tensions.
But despite the de-escalation, gold still ended the day higher. What other factors kept the rally going?
Right. Gold's upward move remained intact thanks to some other supporting elements. The U.S. dollar weakened slightly, making gold more affordable for holders of other currencies. There was also a mixed bag of economic data. Strong retail sales and manufacturing numbers suggested a resilient U.S. economy. This fueled speculation the Fed may keep interest rates higher for longer to fight inflation, which is generally supportive for gold.
And we saw this uncertainty reflected in the stock market as well, correct? With equities selling off across the board.
Exactly. The combination of geopolitical question marks and economic crosscurrents weighed on stocks. The tech-heavy NASDAQ fell 2%, while the broader S&P 500 lost nearly 1%. Investors often turn to gold in times of market volatility.
Looking ahead, what will market participants be watching for clues on the future direction of gold prices?
The big one to watch will be the Personal Consumption Expenditures, or PCE, data due out next Friday. This is the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, so it will be closely parsed for signs of whether price pressures are continuing to ease. If inflation comes in hot, it could bolster the case for the Fed to keep rates higher for longer, which could lend support to gold. On the other hand, signs that inflation is cooling could see gold lose some of its appeal as a hedge.
As always, a lot for investors to keep an eye on. Thank you for that insight and analysis. Shifting gears now to local politics, Chicago's City Council has approved two measures that will have a significant impact on the city's finances. After a heated debate, the council voted to allocate $70 million in funding for migrants and a $1.25 billion bond for economic development and housing. For more on this story, we turn to our correspondent at City Hall. Can you give us a sense of the debate that took place during the council meeting?
The debate was intense, with alder people divided on the issue of funding for migrants. Some argued that the city needs to prioritize taking care of its own residents first, while others maintained that helping migrants is a moral responsibility. Alderman Jesse Fuentes, for example, pointed out that there are already 3,200 children in the city's shelter system and questioned where they would go if the shelters could no longer operate. Ultimately, the measure passed by a vote of 30-18.
Mayor Brandon Johnson plans to take the $70 million out of a surplus fund to cover food and operational costs for the shelters. But some alder people seem to think this is just a temporary fix. What are their concerns?
That's right. Alderman Anthony Beal, for instance, suggested that the $70 million will not be enough to get the city through the rest of the year. He cited projections that Chicago could see about 5,000 migrants arriving per week in the near future. So there is an expectation among some on the council that the city will need to allocate additional funds for migrant services down the line.
And the council also approved a $1.25 billion bond for economic development and housing. What can you tell us about that measure?
This bond issuance is aimed at boosting economic development, which proponents argue is the backbone of the city. It's also intended to fund housing initiatives, with the goal of ensuring that housing is treated as a fundamental right, including for those currently experiencing homelessness. The measure passed despite several failed motions from Alder people seeking to add more oversight into how the funds will be used.
There was also supposed to be a discussion about the city's ShotSpotter gunshot detection technology, but that was tabled for a future meeting, correct?
Yes, the ShotSpotter measure was put on hold and will be taken up at a later date. The technology has generated controversy, with some questioning its effectiveness and impact on communities. So the debate around that issue is still to come before the council.
It certainly sounds like the city is grappling with some complex financial and social challenges. Thank you for your reporting and for breaking this down for us. On a lighter note, it's a big weekend in Starkville, Mississippi, as the town gears up for Super Bulldog Weekend, the biggest weekend in the spring for the city. The event, centered around Mississippi State University baseball and football games, draws huge crowds every year and provides a significant economic boost to the area. For more on this, we turn to our Simply Economics correspondent. What kind of impact does Super Bulldog Weekend have on Starkville's economy?
The impact is substantial, David. According to Paige Hunt, the director of tourism at the Greater Starkville Development Partnership, the influx of visitors for Super Bulldog Weekend means a lot of money being spent at local businesses. Hotels are already sold out, just as they were last year. Hunt describes it as a green economy. Visitors come in, spend their money, and then leave, leaving behind tax dollars that benefit the city of Starkville without using the services those taxes help pay for. It's a win-win situation for the town.
And how are local businesses preparing for the rush of customers?
Businesses are definitely gearing up for the increased foot traffic. Pam Minyard, a store clerk at Campus Bookmart, says they're restocking and cleaning up to be ready for the influx of customers. Despite the busyness the weekend brings, Minyard says she actually loves the excitement of game weekends and events like Super Bulldog Weekend. She enjoys being a part of the experience for families who are spending their vacation in Starkville and connecting with each other.
So it sounds like while it's a hectic time, it's also an exciting and profitable one for Starkville.
Absolutely. The weekend's events, which include the Mississippi State versus Auburn baseball series and the football team's spring game, draw in a diverse crowd. Families, sports fans, alumni, they all converge on Starkville, ready to spend money at hotels, restaurants, shops, and more. The economic impact of this single weekend is likely quite significant for a town the size of Starkville.
It will be interesting to see the final numbers once the weekend is over. Thanks for the insight into how Super Bulldog Weekend affects Starkville economically. For Simply Economics, I'm David. Shifting gears to another economic story, vacant storefronts are becoming an increasingly common sight in New York City, with businesses in Lower Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan, and downtown Brooklyn being hit the hardest. But in the Bronx, the city's poorest borough, the economic impact is being felt even stronger. Here with more details is our correspondent. What are you seeing and hearing from business owners in the Bronx?
Business owners in the Bronx are really struggling right now. Chris Afri, who owns a clothing store on East Tremont, says he is 2 months behind on his rent. High rent is one of the main reasons small businesses across the city are shutting down. Another factor has been an increase in retail theft and break-ins. Madi Al-Sirmi, who has owned a convenience store for 15 years, says people come in every day, grab items, and leave without paying. He says this is causing businesses to suffer, with his store seeing a 20% decline and others reporting drops as high as 40%.
Small businesses are the lifeblood of these neighborhoods. How are other economic factors impacting them?
Unemployment and salaries not keeping up with inflation are also causing businesses to lose customers. People simply have less disposable income to spend. These economic challenges were already fueled by the coronavirus pandemic, but they seem to be persisting or even worsening now. According to City Council member Oswald Feliz, the citywide storefront vacancy rate has jumped from 8% in 2019 to 11.2% today.
Did Council member Feliz discuss any potential solutions to help these struggling businesses?
Feliz says the city is working on programs to encourage businesses to rent vacant storefronts and bring activity back to commercial corridors. He also introduced a bill last month that would provide grants to businesses to cover security-related expenses, which could help combat the rise in theft. Feliz is hopeful these bills will pass and be funded with the city budget approved this summer. In the meantime, businesses are fighting to survive in a very challenging environment.
It's certainly a difficult situation for many small business owners in the Bronx and across the city. Thanks for that report. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Economics. We'll see you back here tomorrow.